introductions for those that just joined the call. We have Danielle Ralston from Viva joining us today. We have from VSP, Eric Galthorpe and Angela Smith. And then from Ventalytics, we have Charles Atkinson and Lisa Perry. And this morning, I gave you a brief report about the script status, and I'm going to get into that in just a minute for those who either were not on the call or did not hear. But before I do that, I want to turn it over real quick to Eric with VSP, and he has some announcements to make.
So as many of you might recall, we had a contest to see which locations could get the highest enrolled percentage of eligible employees to enroll. And I believe I committed to the top 10 were going to get a pair of sunglasses sent to them by VSP. Now, normally, with a band behind it, we hear a drum roll, but it's a good day. I want to give you the highest percentages. Which the highest percentage was 52%, which was the TBR Central Office. So I counted that as one of the campuses. So, yes, so they at 52%. The in no particular order here, but the lowest percentage was 28%. So that was the lowest. So we really had a very good voluntary enrollment here. So the campuses that that are their main contact will be getting a pair of designer sunglasses from us are the Dyersburg State Community College, Jackson State, JSCC, Montlow State Community College, Cleveland State Community College, Volunteer State Community College, Pellissippi State, Columbia State Community College, Austin Peay, where we went twice, and Nashville State, and I think that's 10. One, two, three. Yes, so Nashville State Community College. So each of those locations, the main contact that Lisa gives us will get either a designer pair of men's or women's sunglasses sent to them as a holiday present towards the end of December. So thank you all very, very much for helping us and allowing us to come onto the campuses and handle the meetings. We really appreciate your help.
Great, Eric. Thank you. Well, I'm going to give a brief update as to the IT portion. And the first thing is the script that went out, and this was where all of the deductions were captured so that you could add those to your systems, the deduction codes, the short descriptions, and the amounts for each level, and that release came on 11/21. It was both for the HR 8.2 and HR 8.5. So as I said on the first call this morning, anyone that is having problems with that or did not receive your release, then just email me and let me know. The second part of that is the payroll deduction specification file layout. You saw in the material that was attached to the agenda for this call the file specs on that, and Gary in IT is working on that right now, and you will have that in time to do your first remittance for the payroll run. So you'll be receiving more information about that shortly. And now we're going to talk about the receipt of the initial enrollment deduction file, and Danielle from Viva is going to start, and she's going to speak a little bit about that initial file, and then Charles from Ventalytics will talk about the second file, the outgoing file. So, Danielle, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. I know that we have got three different pay modes, and one pay mode in particular to one campus, so that one is certainly the most urgent of the files. In Lisa's email, I think, Lisa, that you sent out last week, you included the payroll specifications file layout, and our goal is to have a very similar Excel format of an incoming file format to each location. So it will be very simplified file coming in to each location to get the deduction started. The only thing that would change that would be a little bit different is if needed, we're going to include the pay mode, even though that will not impact the actual payroll deduction that would be on the file because everyone is going to have one file per month. I'm sorry, one deduction per month. So regardless of the pay mode being on that file layout, it's my understanding the deduction is only going to come out one time per person in a given month. The goal is to have that to each payroll center in the month of December, and I know that our biweekly folks are, of course, a little more urgent on timing, but we've got more information coming on that, but we are working through the logistics of that.
And Danielle, can you speak briefly about how they'll receive that file? If you've got that to communicate yet, will it just be an exchange within your server, the one that I'm familiar with, or is there any need to say anything to that today?
You know, it certainly can be posted to an FTP site and be extracted by each location, and that is just one of the logistics that needs to be finalized for everyone.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Charles, did you want to talk about the outgoing file?
Sure. Yes, basically the outgoing file, this would be the file that would come from each of the institutions to Benelytics. And you know, Benelytics will receive an initial fee from VEBA or DSP, which sort of will lay the baseline or benchmark for all the deductions that will take place. After each pay period, each institution would send us the file in the format that has been distributed, and that would be transmitted to Benelytics through our secure FTP site. We have assigned a username and password to each of the 20 payroll institutions. And we'll be distributing those very shortly. We just need to make sure we've got all the contacts to send them to. But we'll be distributing those very shortly. And that's where you would upload each of your payroll files after each pay period. You would, using the FTP, an FTP client, and accessing our FTP net server, you would upload your file into the inbox. There'll be an inbox and an outbox. The inbox would be the folder that you would load the file into each time you upload the file to Benelytics. The outbox is if there's any files or reports that Benelytics will send to you, such as after each payroll run, and we would show you we would give you a report of the premiums that we've remitted to the carrier. That report would be in your outbox, so you could go into that box and download that file at any time. The specifications for that were also included in the email that was distributed, so you need to make sure that your IT folks are aware of the specifications that are required in order to access the site. There's some IT issues that will need to be addressed because we want to make sure that it wasn't a standard FTP transfer. We want to make sure that it was a secure connection throughout, which is the reason for a lot of the technical specifications that we've sent. we'll run the run the reconciliation against the benchmarks, and any exceptions will be will fall out. We will approach any of the institutions where the any changes or any exceptions will be applicable. We would approach you to reconcile or to find out the reasoning for either, you know, a missing deduction, a change deduction, or a deduction that comes across that we weren't expecting. So those kinds of things, we will research those with each institution as they occur. At the end of that process, we'll reconcile the files and send the information, the premium information for a premium payment to VSP, along with any exceptions. As we research the information, we will have access to VSP systems so that we will work in conjunction with VSP to make sure that their systems are up to date as we reconcile the information and identify the reasons for any discrepancies.
I have a question. This is Kate in Memphis.
Okay.
This is how you will handle or find out about, say, if we have terminated employees, so their deductions will just stop, and that's what you're going to compare to your benchmark. And then you would contact us and ask us how come there is not a deduction for this person anymore?
That's correct. If in the situation of a termination, a number of things could happen. So, for instance, if someone terminates from the university, then their deductions stop. The only way we're going to know is either someone calls us and tells us, or if in the very next deduction file, that person's no longer there. So if that person comes across, we're going to be expecting a deduction. If there is no deduction for that individual, we're going to reach out to you to determine the reason that there was no deduction. Once we reach out to you, you tell us there's no deduction, we will go into the VSP system and terminate that employee.
Okay, so that's the basic method, is to just have them not show up on that following month's report.
I figured that would be the most efficient method, unless each institution were to feed eligibility data, and I think that would be a lot more cumbersome than it would be to handle it by exception.
Okay.
Any other questions on that part?
I do actually have another question. This is Kate in Memphis again for Danielle.
Excuse me?
When we're talking about receiving the initial enrollment file so that we can get it set up in our payroll records, and you said it would be soon, can we get any kind of an idea of when we may be getting that? Because we do have a biweekly payroll here where our deadline is coming up very quickly.
Okay. And can you tell me what your deadline is?
2nd? They start running that payroll on December the 22nd. Sure. We have to have every...
So obviously, you need that ahead of the 22nd in order to load it.
Yes.
Get it in. Okay.
Start that first payroll in January, which is the one they're going to be deducted on, actually prior to us leaving due to the way the holidays are falling.
Okay. Okay. I will get you a firm date directly to you, but it will be well ahead, I'm hoping, the week before, prior to 12/22.
Okay, so sometime this week then?
Yes. More than likely it will be closer to Friday.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Lisa at MTQ. Has there been any thought given to employees who are going on a leave of absence? You know, state, they can suspend it or they can go on direct bill. With long-term disability, they have to pay the premiums if they're they want to keep the coverage. How is this going to work?
Charlie?
You know, we have a lot of faculty members who take a year's educational leave of absence or something.
Right. Lisa, it's going to work similar to what Charles was explaining with the terminations. If these individuals are not showing up on your premium report, then he's going to be contacted, or a member of Benelytics will be contacting and reaching out to the schools for those exceptions and reconciling those exceptions.
Okay.
So if they're paying you, if they're in the sabbatical, they're still getting a payment. They're still getting their deductions deducted from their paycheck. So in that case, they're not going to come out as anything that needs to be reconciled because they're still getting a payment. They still have coverage. They still have everything coming out. If they're,
yes, I'm okay with that. I don't have a question about that. When I'm talking about the ones you're going on unpaid, do they have the option to keep it while they're on their leave of absence? Or maybe a better phrase of this question would be, if they choose to suspend it during their leave of absence, when they return, would they begin again be eligible to enroll? Or do they have to wait till annual enrollment?
They would have to keep the coverage during that period of time and pay it.
Like loss of disability.
Exactly. You'll notice in the questions and answers that if somebody chooses to end their coverage, then they're going to have a year where they're not going to be able to enroll. And that's because this is a post-tax deduction, and it's the only way to help regulate the benefit somewhat so that we don't have everybody enrolling for January, taking advantage of the insurance, and then getting off in February when they've only made one premium deduction.
Right. I understand.
So April, just so we understand from overall VSP and VIVA, et cetera, for the folks that go on unpaid leave, are those individuals then paying the premiums for medical, dental, vision, all of that to the institution, and that would be then included on the remittance file? How does that normally work for your unpaid leave?
It does. So the employees are paying for their benefits. So they would be paying for, in this case, their VSP coverage, and that would be on the file because they didn't stop their coverage.
So I guess the team members here on the call today need to have some sort of process that the remittance process incorporates any direct bill payments that are made to them outside of payroll deduction, so to speak.
Danielle, that's one method, or another is just, as Charles was speaking to about the exception method, when he does not receive a payroll deduction on the report for someone because they have went on unpaid leave, he's going to reach out to that contact, and at that point, that would be the communication time that they would communicate to him that they're on unpaid leave, and at that point, the contact would just need to remember to include it in the remittance, even if it's an add-on to the report.
Right.
And then Lisa, I it sounds like your contact at the campus gets a check from the person on leave.
One example of that is if someone is going on unpaid leave and they have the option and they don't want to suspend their medical insurance, they want to keep it. Different campuses have different forms, but like one of them that would be out and about is just a list of all of the insurance coverages, and they choose which ones they want to pay the institution to continue. And then there's a total. So if they select medical, dental, LTD, and vision, and that total is $400 a month, then they remit one personal check to the location, and that HR person would then just need to include the VSP part as an exception to Charles.
Okay.
to keep that coverage going. And I think what we're talking about, I'm not saying that it's incidental and don't happen frequently, but it's not going to be too voluminous.
No, okay, very good.
Okay.
So would we be able to add something to the file that we're transmitting? Say if we have an employee on leave of absence that's not appearing on our file, would we have the option to update that file that's going to Fenalytics?
Charles, is that capability available for them to upload another report besides the payroll specification report there, the premium report?
You mean a report that would be separate from the normal, your regular report?
Right.
I don't see a reason why it couldn't. What would that separate file include?
Well, the question was for these special circumstances, if they knew them in advance, the people that were on leave or perhaps those terminated, if a school wanted to be proactive and upload that to you rather than waiting for you to reach out to them.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's not a problem at all.
Well, I think she was asking, could you modify the report?
That's going to be an IT question for your IT person, Lisa. In my world, you could just add another row onto an outgoing file, but we'll have to check the validity of that and just test it. If not, then by exception, it can be handled. Okay. Well, we're going to move along. The next thing we're going to talk about is the new hires, and we've kind of broken this up to two items on the agenda. Danielle's going to address both of them, but some of the questions that have come in is those employees who are new hires, but they were hired after the open enrollment period ended, so they're being handled outside of the initial eligibility file. So I'm going to let Danielle speak to that. That's agenda item number 4, and then she's going to move directly into agenda item number 5 and just speak about our ongoing new hire enrollment process from here going forward. Danielle?
All right. So what we've got currently is we've got our group of individuals that enrolled during the open enrollment, and that data is in the works of getting over to VST so that it is live and ready on January 1st. For anyone that has or needs to enroll after, the open enrollment has closed, and we've had a few people actually already go out there, they're going to go to the exact same website, the tbrvision.com, and the difference is going to be you've got two groups. You've got folks that are enrolling now that are also effective January 1st, and then you've got new hires that are going to have effective dates of 2/1 or after. Either way, the process will be the same because from a technical perspective, these employees are not preloaded to the enrollment system via a census. So, Lisa, for the most part, everyone's going to go into the system and have to do what we call the self-registration process. And we can jump over to those screenshots. I think they were also included in here in your attachment.
They are, and everyone's going to recognize them as looking a whole lot like the maroon and white website that they were directing employees to during open enrollment. So they should look very familiar to everyone.
Yes. So they're going to start out just like everybody else there during open enrollment at tbrvision.com. Going to take them to the informational website, and we'll make a few tweaks so that this page the content is less of an annual enrollment focus and more of just enrollment in general. I think there's only probably two tweaks to these informational pages. But bottom line, everybody's going to hit the Enroll Now button, which will take them to the login screen of the enrollment system, which is the second slide. And
as I mentioned, because they're not sitting on the system already, so we don't know about these employees. They're going to enter their last four digits of their social and their date of birth, and what that will do, once they hit login, it'll take them to the third slide, which is what we call the self-registration. So they'll actually enter their own information into the system. And if you recall, we had, you probably got several emails from me regarding verifications for people that we just didn't have on the census during the open enrollment that went through this exact process. I think we had about 200 self-registrations that across all locations that I had to do verification on. And the reason why we do that is because we did catch less than 10 individuals that either weren't eligible or not enrolled. But in general, we'll need to reach back out to each location just to verify the date of hire and that this employee is indeed eligible and what their effective date should be based on that date of hire. Once they get past the third screen, they will flow right into the enrollment system and then include any further screenshots, because that's really the only thing that's a little bit different, basically, for anyone who's not sitting on a census within the enrollment system already. Lisa, I think as far as the onboarding, you know, what the HR can communicate certainly is the tbrvision.com website. I think the thing to remember is that the benefit effective date is going to be in line with all the other plans. That's first of the month following the effective date. We will feed a file on a weekly basis to VSP, but we are going to need to get that verification back from HR pretty quickly so we can hit that next week file. So the sooner we get the verification of employment, the quicker we can get them over to VSP and get them up and running.
Okay. And then can you speak just briefly about how the appropriate contact at the location will then know that their new employee has enrolled?
They're going to, what we'll do is we'll run a report out of the system that notifies our office here of any new hires that have enrolled, and then we will reach out just like we have been doing to each of the contacts we've been provided.
Okay, and then they'll receive a deduction file for payroll setup purposes, much like the file they'll be expecting for the initial setup on a monthly basis.
Exactly.
Okay. Charles, is there anything on your end that you need to speak to about the new hire enrollments?
Well, the process for new hires will basically be the same on this end. Once, when the file comes across, if they're, again, you know, we will know of the people who we're expecting deductions from. If a new hire comes across where there's a deduction and we're not expecting it, again, we will reach out by exception to verify that that is a new hire. Again, if they've been passed to VSP already from VEBA, we will have access as we research it. You know, we'll check the VSP system first to see if they've been entered in that last file that was sent from VEBA to VSP, and if not, we'll reach out to HR to confirm the details.
Okay, thank you, Charles. Are there any questions up to this point about the new hire process?
Yes, this is Kate in Memphis again. we were asked to give one contact for the whole process for billing and everything. So we've given a payroll contact and no benefits employee contacts. And so I'm kind of wondering how the verifications when people are terminated, go on leave, and then also the new hires, how those are going to be done if the contact you have is in the payroll department, but who you really need to be contacting is somebody in benefits.
Kate, this is Lisa. There's a small misunderstanding. Charles with Benalytics has an existing contact list, which are the benefits managers, directors, managers, the HR directors that help facilitate the enrollment meetings during open enrollment. The contacts that we just asked for, and I think Memphis provided three, those were for just strictly remittance, who was actually going to be performing the ACH. So there's two different types of contacts. The ones that Charles will be, or Benelytics will be reaching out to for verifications, exceptions, those are going to be the contacts for the benefits, whoever, whatever discipline it, that falls in within each location.
Okay.
Okay, well, if there are no other questions, we're going to move on to VSP, Angela Smith, and she's going to speak to you a little bit about VSP's online system.
How are you? And I apologize if my voice goes out. I've had issues lately. I forwarded, Lisa, forwarded the link. Did that go out to everyone to kind of do a tour of what the online system is?
Yes, Angela, that link was provided within the agenda, so hopefully
time. I am more than happy, our client services, to, if somebody has additional questions and want a more detailed tour, tutorial on that, I can get that set up where however many of you want to have that tutorial, I can get that set up so that you can have that. But other than that, all the things that were provided to me will have access to go online, and I actually am working on that as we speak, getting everyone uploaded, and you'll be emailed your user ID and a temporary password. Once you go on, you'll change that. And that's where you'll be able to look at, download the employees at your location, and each one of you will have the access for your campus location.
But they will not be able to see other campuses, only their campus, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great, Angela, thank you. And I did want to let everyone know that I'm still missing two locations, their contacts, and this is for the ACH remittance contacts. There's two campuses that have not provided those. If you're on the phone, please go ahead and send those. We had four missing. I've received two today, so two outstanding. Did anyone have any questions for Angela? I think we'll just leave it with, if you would like a tutorial, if you want to email me, or I can schedule that, or we can decide how to go forward from there as far as how many and who all wants to be included in that. And with that, we were going to let Charles with Benelytics just tell you a little bit about his customer service number that he has established for TBR. It is in the facts and questions. You'll find that number. And most of the time, any customer service issues are going to be addressed with the carrier, but I'm just going to let Charles tell you briefly kind of what his role is a little bit to that effect.
Okay. Basically, our role here is to support each of the institutions, HR, and payroll staff. So our role, any of the issues that with the program that any of the HR staff has, we've set up an 800 number that that comes into our office that you would call, and our staff would address any of the issues. Now, we are here to help with any of the issues related to eligibility, related to any sort of payroll deductions, premium payments, those types of things. If there are claims issues, those would be addressed with the insurance carriers first. But if there's any sort of claim escalation or problem resolution, then that would come to us as well. And then we would step in and be your advocate to get those things worked out. Is there anything else? I think that's pretty much it. We are here from 8:30 till 5 o'clock Eastern time. We will respond any calls that we receive prior to 2 o'clock Eastern time will be returned the same day. Anything after 2 o'clock Eastern time, we will do our best to return them the same day, but they'll be returned the following morning at the latest.
Okay. Thank you, Charles. We're going to go ahead and get ready to close. Eric or Danielle, Angela, did anyone else have anything that they needed to add?
I don't.
Okay. I did want to let everyone know that we have... we're going to prepare an audio file of this call. It will either be audio that you can listen to, depending on the clarity of it, or it will be transcribed. There are some people that are not able to be on the call this afternoon, and also just for a resource going forward, maybe as just an item in your desk manual, and we want you to have access to this call even after it's ended today. So hopefully that'll provide or prove valuable to you. And with that, just thank everyone for your patience and your participation today.
Hey, Lisa. This is Gail at ESU. What about the extending the payments? Where are the instructions for that?
Those are in the Benelytics instructions that were on the attachment.
This is Charles. The instructions for actually remitting the payments, that was the instructions for remitting the file, the backup. Inside the email that you will receive that has the username and password,
okay.
You will also receive the banking information where the premiums are to be remitted.
So we haven't received that yet.
No, we've not sent that out to anyone outside of the central office.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, you'll be getting that. Once we received all of the contacts, that's where we would be sending that information. But
right.
Inside that email, each of those emails will be sent secure mail. It will include the username and passwords to the FTP site, but it will also include the banking information for the bank accounts. There's two bank accounts that have been established, one for the VSP premiums and another for the AFLAC premiums. So so that information will be coming along with the other information.
Okay, thank you.
He's just waiting, Gail, he's just waiting for those last two schools to submit their contacts, and then that can be sent out.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
April, on the contacts for the remittance information and the uploads, did we say that's restricted to one person at a school?
No.
Okay, so would you have multiple people with access?
Right. You were, the email that went out stated that you could have a primary and a backup, a primary and a secondary. There's one school that, due to their separation of duties process, that they've submitted three. That's the most I've gotten so far. But, yes, just I've had some schools that one person's doing the AFLAC, one person's doing the Vision. So just whatever your location situation is, but there can be more than one.
Great, thanks.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, everyone, and have a great rest of the afternoon.